Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
I have been told there is a clause in there that everyone that's Medicare age will be visited and told to decide how they wish to die.
I guarantee you, first of all, we just don't have enough government workers to send to talk to everybody to find out how they want to die. That would be kind of morbid. The intent here is to simply make sure that you've got more information and that Medicare will pay for it. So if Medicare is saying you have the option of consulting with somebody about hospice care and we will reimburse it, that's putting more power, more choice in the hands of the American people.
President Barack Obama speaking yesterday at a town hall meeting at the AARP headquarters in Washington, D.C. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin for the last 10 minutes of this hour. It's troubling a lot of people. We heard the caller say, am I going to be visited to ask me how I want to choose to die? The president says, no, this is about hospice. This is about living wills and things like that. No reason to be alarmed. Well, is there? Wesley Smith joins us. He's an attorney for the International Task Force on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide, senior fellow for the Discovery Institute, and author of numerous books, including Forced Exit, Euthanasia, Assisted Suicide, and The New Duty to Die. Wesley, welcome.
Hey, Todd, how are you?
Very well. How are you?
Not bad.
As an advocate for the disabled and those who are in the crosshairs of the Death with Dignity movement, it is euphemistically called, are you concerned about what might be in the health care reform bill?
Yeah, particularly since it's over 1,000 pages long, and it often refers to other laws, so it's almost unintelligible in terms of reading it straight out. Let me give you an example. This is the part that begins the section that you were referring to and the president was referring to in terms of these counseling sessions for end-of-life care, right? It says, and this is starts on page 424, and I hate to be gobbledygook, but this is the only way people can understand how come it's so difficult to discern the meaning. It says, advanced care planning consultation, A, Medicare, 1, in general, section 1861 of the Social Security Act, 42 U.S.C. 1395X, is amended, A, in subsection S2, I, by striking and at the end of subparagraph DD, II, by adding and at the end of subparagraph EE, III, by adding at the end of the following new subparagraph, FF, advanced care planning consultation. So even to begin to understand what the next clause has, you're going to have to go to 1861 of the Social Security Act, all those sections that I described. You're going to have to cut and paste to figure out where the ands go and what they mean, and then try to figure out what this consultation requirement is. Now, it says that the consultation shall include every 5 years, and then it lists a whole bunch of information that is to be provided in this consultation. It also says that the consultation, if there's been a material change in the patient's health, there will be a consultation earlier than 5 years. Now, whether or not that's a mandatory consultation is hard to tell, but it is certainly a consultation that is seeking to get people to sign advance directives. It does not require that they refuse care, but let me tell you, this is about cost-cutting. And the reason they're pushing this is because they want people to sign advance directives in which certain care, expensive care, is refused. And the analogy I give is to genetic counseling when a pregnant woman tests positive for carrying a down fetus. Plenty of studies have shown that when that woman or the family goes in for counseling, genetic counseling, quite often that counseling is directed toward the abortion decision. And so regardless of what the letter of the law says, we certainly know that the point of this is to get people to refuse treatment. What President Obama seems to be saying, and this is something that's just come out in the last day or so, is that what this provides is that people who provide this counseling will be paid for it, as opposed to, I suppose, the current law, where if you have a discussion with your patient, you won't be paid for it. But a lot of this discussion also takes place with lawyers, people creating advance directives, and so forth. But so it's really very difficult to know precisely what it says based on the statute itself and 1,000 pages. What I am concerned about on a broader level is that this bill will push healthcare rationing. There is a discussion about a utilitarian bioethics board. They don't use the term utilitarian. That would decide what care should be provided, what care shouldn't be provided. The president has made a big discussion about this. Well, once you start getting into bureaucratic oversight of the decisions made by patients and their doctors in the doctor's office, you are talking about destroying Hippocratic medicine, because this board would not only be authorized to say what a public plan should pay for, but also private. And so you have a situation where healthcare rationing is being promoted by some of the president's most high-level healthcare advisors, such as Ezekiel Emanuel, who is the chief of staff's brother, Rahm Emanuel, who wants healthcare rationing based on age. Cass Sunstein, who is the president has appointed as his regulatory czar, has said that the value of a elderly person should have less monetary value in cost-benefit analysis for regulations than somebody who's not elderly. So you begin to see this kind of invidious discrimination taking place. Healthcare rationing is medical discrimination by a polite name, where people will be denied certain treatments based on their characteristics, rather than these decisions being based on what is needed by the individual through informed consent, what a patient might want or might not want.
Your advice is slow down. What do our legislators need to do, even with what they've got in front of them right now?
Right, particularly since much of this wouldn't take effect for several years. What is the rush? Have you ever gone to one of these Las Vegas land sale deals where they really try to high pressure you into buying, you know, land in Vegas or timeshares that might not be Vegas or swamp land in Florida? You know, they have very high pressure tactics because they want you to do it now, because they know if you walk away and consider it, you might not decide to make the buy. That is what's happening here. This law would not go into effect for several years. So why do we have to have it voted on before the August recess?
Finally, then, should we be concerned, bottom line, with the language as it exists today, being pushed pretty hard and rushed pretty hard through, with 1 minute here, Wesley, should we be concerned that end-of-life issues, the situation on the ground, what will be covered and what might be required, will significantly change, pushing toward probably more legislative permission or encouragement, if you will, incentive for doctors, physicians, the healthcare system to disregard the dignity of those who are near death, disabled, all of those in the crosshairs of the Death with Dignity movement?
I think overall the answer is yes. And it would not only be the wording of the statute, but realize that if the statute is passed, there'll be books filled with regulations passed by bureaucrats at the Health and Human Services Department that will further deal with these kinds of issues and quality of life judgments. Once the principle is established that we can give one patient a better quality of health care than another, well, then you're down the road to a true end of Hippocratic medicine.
Wesley Smith is an attorney for the International Task Force on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide. Stay informed about healthcare reform and end-of-life issues by checking out Wesley Smith's blog. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Wesley is a senior fellow for the Discovery Institute and author of numerous books, including Forced Exit, Euthanasia, Assisted Suicide, and The New Duty to Die. Wesley, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to talk with an atheist about the value of religion. In fact, the book is called An Atheist Defends Religion. We'll be talking with the author of that book And I encourage you to listen. We'll also have some time, hopefully, for you to react to our conversation with this atheist on the value of religion tomorrow on Issues Etc. Do us a favor tonight. Send the new Issues Etc. promotional YouTube video to 10 of your friends. I'll tell you where to find it, right at our website, issuesetc.org. Click promote. You'll find the YouTube video right there and the way that you can send it via email to 10 of your friends, your loved ones, acquaintances, whoever it is. Email us as well, letting us know that you've done this. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. And we'll enter your name for a drawing to be held on the 28th of August, Friday the 28th of August, for a $100 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House. Again, go to our website, issuesetc.org, click promote, find the YouTube promotional video, email it to 10 of your friends. Email us, talkback at issuesetc.org. We'll enter your name and perhaps draw your name on Friday the 28th of August for that gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House, $100. And thank you in advance for helping promote Issues Etc. Tomorrow on the program, I encourage you to tune in that second hour because I imagine it will be a remarkable conversation. An atheist who wants to defend religion, not the notion of God, but that religion actually has been some good, in fact, a lot of good in the world. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. And thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.